Welcome to the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast, the podcast for high achievers who want to stay sharp, focused, and full of energy despite their diagnosis. With your host, National Board Certified Functional Medicine Health Coach, Julie Michelson, where Julie helps you take your power back from autoimmunity. And now here's your host, Julie Michelson.
Welcome back to the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast. I'm your host, Julie Michelson. And today we're joined by Dr. Jenny Tafankian, who has been treating chronic illness for 2 decades. Having complex chronic fatigue herself, she had no choice but to dig deep into the literature and uncover the root causes of chronic fatigue. Dr. Jenny is a licensed naturopathic physician, and through her research and experience, she developed an effective system to unlock the 5 core energy drainers so that those who are too exhausted to function can start feeling like themselves again. She shares this system with clients and practitioners online and in person. In today's conversation, we are talking about the common drivers of chronic fatigue syndrome, or myalgic encephalitis, as it is now more accurately called. Dr. Jenny shares these 5 common drivers of chronic fatigue and the approach that she takes with her clients to allow for true healing. If you find yourself strategically budgeting your energy to make it through your day, this episode is for you. Dr. Jenny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. I have heard your story and I know the kind of work that you're doing, and I'm excited to share your work with listeners because it is such an important, you're just doing amazing work. It's a kind of a population that often is just left on their own, unhelped. So, but I'd love to start a little bit with your story and just find out more about your journey.
Sure. So I decided to become a naturopathic doctor when I was 6 months pregnant with my child, and I was single and I had broken my knee and was kind of a mess, to be honest, but deciding to have this kid and deciding to become a doctor were sort of the 2 big epiphanies. You know, when you're in your 20s, you can have these big realizations that move your life in a huge way. I went on to do medical school with him when he was little and really felt like I was superwoman, and decided it was time to have a second child after 2nd year of medical school. I had married his dad and we were happily married and it was all working out, and ended up having a series of miscarriages. And the second miscarriage was a second trimester one. And it ended up hemorrhaging and needing to be rushed to the hospital. And that was the opening of what I call my dark night of the soul. And this is a time, because I was in medical school and I had this young kid, I had friends who would go off to meditate and I'd be like, what's that? I don't have time for that. Like, I'm doing. When I crashed from that miscarriage where I hemorrhaged, I literally was stuck in bed for months, and I was so tired, I could only just stare at the ceiling. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I had severe anxiety. I was suicidal ideation. It was really rough. And people confessed to me later, they were afraid I was going to die during that phase. My legs were ice up to my knees, and I really was not functioning. I was very blessed to be surrounded by healers because I was in medical school. And so a lot of my teachers and my colleagues would come and take care of my family and came and cared for me. And I had this very profound experience where one of the therapists that came was a hypnotherapist, and she did subconscious work with me. And that was the first time I'd ever felt like I'd done therapy where I got to where I needed to be scratched, that itch that needed to be scratched. Mm. And she was able to help me shift out of that deep anxiety and the depression. And I moved from what I would call from the bed to the couch. So literally I now was able to be on the couch. I didn't have the severe anxiety or the depression, but I still had the ongoing fatigue. After I took a year out of medical school and went back and was not normal. Mm. I was very tired. And it really hit me the day I was walking down the hall with the person that was overseeing all of us as residents, and she said she wanted to live till she was 120. And I just looked at her. I was in my 30s and I was like, why would you want to do that? I already feel like I'm 90. Like, I just didn't understand. I was so tired. And that's when it really hit me how sick I still was. You know, I felt so old. And I threw everything I knew at it as a young, new student and physician. And I did actually break through that year. And the last, I call it a puzzle. And the last piece of the puzzle was healing my mercury amalgams, getting those out. Metal detox, which I know with all the work you do with autoimmune, you know how much those metals can be a trigger for that. And I was able to, you know, I really feel like all of this deep work that I did at that time served me as a practitioner. I was able to hold people in very deep illness because of what I had experienced in my own self. And I was able to feel like I could tell people who had chronic fatigue that there was an answer, they could get better. I literally got what I called 150% better, whereas able yep. to have another kid and open clinics and, you know, I was teaching. And I mean, I just was going full tilt. And I didn't think I'd ever get it again. And then I did. And then I learned my second lesson, which is how quickly you can hit relapse. You know, once yes. your body has that pattern, it's so easy to go back into it with a few triggers. I had an injury. I had pain. I had sleep deprivation. I was going through perimenopause. It was a perfect storm. And I went down that slide and I was terrified I was going to fall in that hole again and be in bed. But my whole family was dependent on me financially at that time. And I couldn't not work. I had to work or else I was going to literally take my family into bankruptcy. But I was so exhausted. So I ended up just researching. And this was a gift because I ended up my practice filled with people who had chronic fatigue. And I mapped out these different root causes. And I saw that we're not all the same. The first time I had it and I got well, I knew it was possible to get well, but I didn't know the path. The second time, it became so much clearer. It was 17 years later, and it had so much more clarity about what are the different root causes that can lead to people to get chronic fatigue.
Amazing journey. And it is, I love when, you know, the mess becomes the magic,
right?
Which is how most of us are here. And again, yet another story of, you know, right. it's what we put doctors through in medical school. Like if there's something waiting to pop out, it typically will pop out during medical school. I don't know why we're trying to kill healers, but maybe one day that system, and it's international. I mean, it doesn't really matter whether it's, you know, right. naturopath, MD, DO, like it's, and what country you're in.
Yeah.
So, right. But we're grateful that you're not only well, but, you know, now have the gifts to help others.
Yeah. And I should mention that the magic journey continues because I got COVID 18 months ago and it really triggered my chronic fatigue. And I understand what was the setup for that. I can see that there were things that I should have been paying attention to. I knew I should have, and I wasn't.
Like what? And
what was that?
Like what? Like what kind of things, you know, I know for me, the things I need to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, you know, I'm symptom free, but I'm symptom free because I'm not living the way I was living that sure. got me sick to begin with.
Sure.
So what are those things that now, and even in hindsight with, because COVID is a special thing.
Yes, it is.
So what could you have been doing differently?
Yeah. And I think this is really good for anyone who's listening out there, who's wondering why maybe they got into the chronic health condition they're in now. And or you're somebody who's like, oh, I don't really want to do that, or I don't want to relapse. Because what I did personally is that I knew I had a low grade gut thing going on. I knew I probably had H. pylori or something. My husband had a really bad case of it. It was one of those where we were so busy, you know, I wanted to do the protocol at the same time because you can ping pong it back and forth between a partner, and we'll wait. And he was busy doing his catch up work from all the stuff that was canceled during the pandemic.
Right.
Then we were traveling to catch up for the pandemic. And I was working, and I was working down in the Dominican Republic teaching these amazing female entrepreneurs for their mastermind. And I got a gastrointestinal illness while I was down there. So I had 3 days of diarrhea and fever. And the person next to me had COVID. And so while my immune system was trashed and my gut was trashed, I got COVID. But the setup was that the year that I knew that I had something going on in my gut that I kept putting off. I also knew that I needed to do another round of heavy metal detox. I kept putting that off. I didn't want to take a week off work to detox. And I was under immense amount of stress.
Okay. So back to the superwoman complex. Right?
We all went through something in COVID that was a rattle for ourselves. Sure. And I went through mine and it was impacting me. And I knew it was impacting me. I was doing what I could, but it still threw me. So that was my setup. And the journeys continued for me to be able to see, oh, how does long COVID, how is it the same or different from chronic fatigue? And what works and, you know, what are the ways that we can get out of this pattern?
Which I think, you know, unfortunately, even just with autoimmune triggers, chronic fatigue, long COVID, you know, there's more and more and more. There was more anyway, and then COVID just really pushed it over the top.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to back up a little bit and talk about chronic fatigue. You know, we see it all the time. I experienced it. I'm guessing, well, maybe you didn't because you were surrounded by healers, but, you know, let's talk about symptoms and how this is, you know, not a tired mom, yeah. not a lazy person, right. you know, how if listeners are listening and they're like, well, you know, how do I know if this is something that I should be tending to and pushing for answers, mm-hmm. or if maybe what I was told is right. And you know, I look fine, right? Nobody mm-hmm. believes I don't feel well.
Right. Yeah. People tend to look really good when they have chronic fatigue and everybody says, you look amazing. And I'm like, thanks. Yeah. Can't wait to lie down, you know? So I just want to say that whoever's listening to this, you know your body better than anybody else. So you know if you're tired. If you're tired, then listen to yourself as to that those are the signs. If you're feeling exhausted, if you find yourself doing what I call energy budgeting, which is where you're kind of thinking, okay, well, it's after work and I got invited to go for drinks after work, but I'm afraid if I do that, then I'm not going to have the energy to check my emails after I get home. Or if I go to the kids' soccer game on Saturday, then that means that I'm not going to have the energy to go to the party Saturday night. So which am I choosing? If you're doing that, then that's not normal. If it's really about energy budgeting, if you are struggling to get through your day and feeling really tired at some point. Some people with chronic fatigue, depending on their root cause, may be tired all day long and their energy is always low. Other people, depending on their root cause of chronic fatigue, can have energy that goes up and down. And I think this is one of the things that gets missed because some people feel like, well, I feel really good in the morning, but I'm crashing by the afternoon. And so they don't think that they have chronic fatigue. The other thing that one of the classic signs of chronic fatigue is this thing called post-exertional malaise, which is where you are more tired after doing more than you usually do. For some people who are really sick with chronic fatigue, this means that they did dishes and the laundry.
Right.
And now they're in bed or on the couch and can't do anything else because they overdid it. For other people, this means you went on a 5-mile hike instead of a 2-mile hike. And you're in bed or you're exhausted or you don't feel like you can do more. I've done that a couple times with this long COVID.
It's really common, especially as people are healing and you know, then you have a good day or a couple of good days.
Yes,
and right. whether, you know, a 5-mile hike is a great reason. Usually it's catching up with errands and chores and right. things, but there's that tendency where like, oh, I have energy, I'm going to use it. And then
yes.
you're back, you know? So, yeah. I love that you clarified the up and down. Cause sometimes people think chronic fatigue means I never, ever have energy.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm then thinking back to like, oh, you know, when I was, and how do we differentiate? Because I had sometimes, especially back when I was not well, and I know when you were diagnosed as well, chronic fatigue was kind of thrown at you as a, like, you're tired. We don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, here's a label. Yeah. And that was something, you know, I had rheumatoid arthritis that was active. And so I was exhausted.
Right.
They did end up, you know, I think back then too, fibromyalgia was another like pain unexplained. Here's another label.
Right.
So I had all of the labels.
Right.
And that, you know, just conserving your energy. I mean, I had to rest when my kids were at school or I would never make it through that afternoon, you know, nighttime. I think if you're like, I just remember just waiting for bedtime.
Oh, I know.
Couldn't wait until the kids were in bed. It was like,
I so relate. I've so been there. You're just watching the clock, like, especially when they're younger.
Yeah.
And they'd like have all that, like they kind of have their frustrated outbursts around 6 o'clock and you're just like, oh, cannot wait.
Yeah.
I did the same. I had to do the same thing. I'm just going to pop. I'll answer your question. I'm just going to pop this because I think it's important for people who are struggling with fatigue and in their healing journey, like you and I have been, that it can be really powerful to shift your schedule if you can, if you have the freedom to. So I knew that second time I crashed, I was very, very exhausted, but had to work. So I reshifted my schedule. So I was seeing patients in the morning and I literally turned into a pumpkin at about 1:30.
I get it. So I know that feeling.
I flew out of the clinic. Big smile on my face, big stack of charts, then, you know, see you later, Zoom home. My dog knew what time it was. She would nap. She was my nap buddy. She would wait till I got under the duvet. Then she would pop in and we would sleep for like 2 hours. I'd get up, I'd do my charts and pick up my kid. And that was, you know, do the evening shift, which was kid and dinner, you know, and then bed.
Yeah, I get it. And not everybody, you were working for yourself. You were able to do that. And obviously not everybody can do that. I was at a point where I was unable to work and luckily had finances saved.
Yes.
That was allowed me to do that. Or I can't even, and I was a single mom, so I can't even imagine how I would have done it if I didn't have that flexibility at the time.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think that brings another point. Of course, there's different places where people have different flexibility, and I feel very lucky that I had that flexibility with being my own boss, and I could direct my schedule that way. And I think that there needs to be a call out for this condition to be better understood. And I really think that people who, you know, anyone listening who may be a leader of in a corporate business or a manager, any kind of place, the people who are struggling with these chronic invisible illnesses, if they could be allowed time to have a break in the middle of the day, it could be huge. I was recovering from long COVID, the power of a 15-minute break was substantial. If I could just lie down and stop for 15 minutes, two or three times throughout the day, it was huge. So if we could just give people permission who are high functioning, or, you know, just everyone needs this, you know, if we could just
well, that's a great way to prevent the chronic illness.
Totally. Like I'm actually tired. I need to rest. My body's giving me a signal. I need to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Which I'm assuming is kind of a key thread, right? Even just listening to your story is like superwoman crash, you know?
Yeah.
And that's in one way or another, I think so many of us do that, right? Yeah. That especially women, we tend to take care of everybody else. And, you know, if you had a broken leg, you would go get that, you know, attended to.
Yeah.
But when you've got these symptoms that creep in, the fatigue, maybe the aches and pains, the feeling, I remember how old I felt in my 30s. And I'm like, I literally didn't think I would live to see 50. And I'm like, I can't believe at 54, I could feel, you know, so much younger than I did in my 30s.
Yeah. It's I totally can identify. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that, there's a couple things that you mentioned here that I think are really important, where one of the reasons that we ignore our symptoms is because we do tend to think, one, we do live in a push culture where we just need to push and perform and we don't really listen to our bodies. We don't really understand that we are more than just this physical body. We're this physical body, emotional body, and this energetic body. And sometimes they need different pieces of attention. I was so sick because when I was down flat in bed, because all three bodies were crashed out, like my spiritual body, my emotional body, and my physical body were all depleted. A lot of us who are dealing with complex chronic illnesses and invisible illnesses, we may have one or other body, one of the bodies that can kind of pull us along and give us the juice to keep pushing. And yet we're not really allowed in this culture to sit back and go, okay, what's really going on with me and what do I really need? The other problem is just the horrible name that chronic fatigue has, because everybody feels tired at some point. And because you do look so good and the labs look normal, it's very different than saying, I have cancer or I have this, you know, a broken leg or something that's obvious to others. People don't bring you lasagna when you say, when I have chronic fatigue.
To cook dinner.
They don't do that. They just stop inviting you to social events because you're always saying no, thank you.
Such a good point.
So I think it's a lot about listening to your body and noticing what needs to go, needs to happen. And yes, me pushing myself and feeling like I needed to be better than I was or proving myself or all of that stuff was definitely happening and part of my triggers. And there are other triggers that are very physical that can lead people down the path into chronic fatigue and long COVID, for sure.
And I want to also touch on, because we've mentioned chronic fatigue and long COVID, I want to touch on ME. Can you just, it's not something we've talked about on the podcast at all. Can you share with listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, I will. And I want to say it in a way as an apology to those people listening because, well, so chronic fatigue syndrome is the name that has been used in this country, but we're really trying to switch it over to ME, which is myalgic encephalitis. Myalgic encephalitis means that there's something going on, inflammation in the brain that's impacting the body. And that's exactly what is going on. The brain is inflamed when you're dealing with somebody who has chronic fatigue, ME, long COVID. It's happening in all of them. That's the commonality between them, is this brain inflammation. What causes that brain inflammation in somebody and how, what was the setup to get to that brain inflammation is unique between each person. And what your setup is going to be part of your path to healing. What your triggers were to get into this state of myalgic encephalitis can be unique for you. And I've mapped out five that are very common and figuring out which one of those for which one, two, three, or all five of them are for you can be very helpful in establishing your pattern to healing, your path to healing. But it's really the same thing. So myalgic encephalitis, I was just listening to every 4 years, the NIH, National Institute of Health, does a what's the latest research on chronic fatigue, ME, and now they've added long COVID in there. And these people are really pushing for us physicians to start using myalgic encephalitis and drop the chronic fatigue. I think it's going to be a slow process. Yeah. I still use both because it's not known.
Well, that's why we started the conversation by talking about chronic fatigue because because at least people with health struggles have heard of chronic fatigue. But ME really does, you know, is chronic fatigue again, still can be kind of considered imaginary sometimes. Whereas, you know, encephalitis is like, oh, wait, there's inflammation in the brain. Like
your brain inflamed. Oh, maybe I will bring you lasagna.
It's so true. But I think even, you know, for the people suffering, there is this relief of like, because like you said, so often the labs that are being run, especially in traditional Western medicine, you know, oh, your blood works fine. Your blood works fine. And there is this relief when there's something that shows up like, oh, this is actually physical, physiological. And yeah, it could also be energetic and spiritual and all the other things, but it is still manifesting in a physical condition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's touch on the five common triggers. And you already alluded to it. I remember when I first started doing this work professionally, I was still in the like root cause singular, you know, like with, and it's never singular. It almost is just, you know, order of go. But what are, in your experience, especially particularly for ME, and even it sounds like long COVID is kind of right in there as well.
Yeah. I consider long COVID to be the same in this case. So one of the first root cause I call the gateway root cause, which is the hormone triangle. So this is are your adrenals, or it's really your hypothalamic pituitary axis, but adrenal is just so much easier. Your adrenals, your thyroid, and your ovary, your testes for male. And this is the gateway one, because it's exactly what we're talking about with this push culture, with this, I'm just going to do more with this. Yeah, I can hold this kid in this arm and this kid in this arm, yes, and, you know, cook dinner with my foot and, you know, be thinking of the email I need to write for work.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, no problem. I got it. We are going to survive.
Piece of cake. I'm an octopus.
Yeah. So that one is the gateway root cause. And it can be a really, those people tend to have, well, it depends on which root cause, but each root cause has its own energy pattern that I'm listening for when I'm listening to people to help diagnose which one. The other one is mitochondrial dysfunction. Mm. The mitochondria are the little energy powerhouses inside of our cells that create our energy, and they can be functioning, they can be burning dirty and giving you not enough energy. If you have post-exertional malaise, you have a mitochondrial problem.
Right.
And that's a number one key. The third root cause is related to the mitochondria, which is toxic overload.
Yep.
And I see this a lot.
Chicken, so that egg, was, yeah.
Right. So that was me with the heavy metals. That has also been me with the mold and mycotoxins in my house and my clinic and my car.
Yep.
And it can also be from the glyphosate in our foods. It can be from so many things.
Right.
And it can also be removed. So these things, I don't want people to put their head in the sand, fear around the fact that we have all these toxins. We do, and yet we can be empowered to know what we can do every single day to reduce our load. It's just a time for us to take more action. It's not a time to stay in fear around it.
Right.
So toxic overload is huge. The fourth is chronic infection. This can be a bacterial infection, a fungal infection. It can be a viral infection. Viruses are huge. I mean, when the pandemic hit, I knew we were going to have a second pandemic of chronic fatigue ME, because viruses and stress are huge in terms of triggering people into a chronic fatigue ME kind of cycle.
Well, and either one of those, I mean, just the experience of that time period was enough, the chronic stress alone.
Right.
And then add in a viral component and a pretty unique virus.
A very tricky virus for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are running around with a chronic viral load. And most people, we all have viruses in us. We have many viruses in us. Some have names, some don't. Very few of them have very good testing for them. And those viruses can take advantage of us when we are under stress. So during the pandemic, a lot of people were under stress, and that alone could reactivate an Epstein-Barr virus, a latent Epstein-Barr virus, even if you never got COVID, you still could have had a reactivated virus, a chronic infection.
Right.
So chronic infections are huge. And I think that's one of the low-hanging fruit that a lot of doctors miss and a lot of people miss, because again, there's so many things that we can do to treat those viruses, and you get your energy back, and it feels so good when you do.
See, you make me so happy so often. I'm a big deep labs up front, and like you, and then that intake of listening, you can, you always energetically are guided of what seems really likely. And so often people want me to, because I get it, labs are expensive.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, do I need the viral panel too? And I'm like, I would, let's really look at all of these things.
Yeah.
Cause chances are many of them, like you said, are there. What is the priority?
Yeah, I do the same thing when I'm working with people. I feel like I'm a very left brain, right brain doctor. So I'm very left brain in terms of my testing, my algorithms, my differential diagnosis, what I'm really thinking
and
here.
Intuition.
Yeah.
And
I want to bring in stuff, be sure I'm not missing any elephants in the room, that kind of thing. And then there's that right brain side of really listening and feeling in and what else going on with all the person, the physical body, the emotional and the energetic.
Right.
And how does this, their story and what I'm sensing is going on with them relate to these labs? And then how do we choose that place to go? I think a lot of doctors get overwhelmed and shut the door literally or just in their minds or energetically to people who come in with all these complex symptoms. because they feel lost too. And this is a way to break it down so that you can understand, where do I start? If you're a practitioner, where do I start with this person? If you're the person with the experience, with the symptoms, where do I start? Which root cause is the biggest root that will have the biggest impact?
Right. Yeah. Because we need, and I know I can tell, you know, you see this in your practice.
Yeah.
We need the wins, right? We need to feel that needle move, because otherwise it is a lot, and it does take work and participation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this whole idea of the magic pill clearly is not.
Long gone. Yeah.
So, what is number five?
Number five is looking at the limbic emotional brain.
Love it.
Yeah, and this is huge. And this so obviously interacts with all the other root causes that we already talked about, because that limbic brain is that emotional seat of the brain, and it is connected to the most beautiful long nerve in the body called the vagus nerve. And that vagus nerve touches all these different organs, and the vagus nerve sends information up to the brain, and the brain sends information down to the body through that vagus nerve. And so you can have, this can be the source of a vicious cycle for somebody who is struggling with complex chronic illness. And it can be so powerful when you get this corrected. So what can happen is that whether you have a toxic exposure or viral exposure, or you're under immense amounts of stress and your hypothalamic pituitary axis is thrown off, or you have gut problems, you've got SIBO, dysbiosis, you know, IBS, Crohn's, any of those things can send information from the vagus nerve up to the brain going, it's not okay down here. We're not really doing too well. And then you can have this, especially in a person who has any background subconscious stuff, and we all do.
Right. Like, so any person, period.
Right, any person with a brain. We inherited it. It's from early childhood trauma stuff. We all have that stuff.
Yeah.
That until we become conscious of it, it is unconscious and we are reacting to it. That hooks in that subconscious mind with the physical experience that the vagus nerve is having of, we're not okay down here.
Right.
And it sends off this danger signal. And that danger signal then comes down and starts having impact on your immune system, your hormones. It can shut down that mitochondria into that cell danger response. So it's literally hibernating. So you don't have energy. It becomes a real cycle. And so, yeah.
I love that you, we're so aligned, because what I've found, and I see, I'm sure you see it all the time too.
Yeah.
People are doing the things, right? They've worked on the detox. They've worked on the viruses.
Their diet's perfect, right?
Their diet's dialed in just for them.
Right.
You know, all of it. And if they haven't addressed that fifth piece.
Yes.
The healing isn't there, or it's really short-lived, temporary, maybe a little reprieve, and then they're right back in it. And they get more and more and more constricted and restricted to try to feel okay. And so I love that. I used to joke, like, I'm like, wow, I was a good coach. I wasn't a great coach, because we always got to that stuff. And now it's like, no, we're front loading. Like, if you want to heal faster, you've got to be addressing this fifth piece. Like, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've been doing even deeper, more work into that and realizing how important that is, because what it does is it helps regulate your autonomic nervous system. Right. And your autonomic nervous system rules everything. Yeah. So you need to get that into balance. And I think it's so important in today's world, because our stress response system is activated all the time. Yeah. I mean, partly from the physical things I've talked about in terms of just the chemicals and all the environment, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then also what we've already talked about, the culture of you got to do all instant access all the time, bing, 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 you know, what was I doing? Oh, just this constant stress of input is challenging. And then of course we're in a lot of existential places with the planet being where it is. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening right now that's tough on us, which is, again, to me, a call to say, hey, there are all these things that can be leading your body to be in this stress state, which is not healthful.
Right.
And yet we do have the ability to consciously choose to work on this and to heal it.
Right.
We can bring that in because the body ultimately wants to be healthy, wants to be in alignment, and we just need to learn how to tap in to trigger that in ourselves.
I love that you say that and this idea. I hear it all the time. People come in and they're like, I'm not stressed. And then they tell me about their life. And I'm like, I am. So I say, like, honestly, if you are not actively working on getting out of the sympathetic stress state,
right,
you're not doing yourself justice. And we can't, that's why, you know, you can eat the right foods and handle toxins and do the right things.
Right.
But if you're never in the parasympathetic state, you physiologically cannot heal. Like it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I love that you're like, oh no, this is a really important piece. And it is active. It really is active for somebody to, you know, to think that they don't need to take steps to, like you said, to be too busy to meditate and you don't have to meditate. There are other ways.
Yeah.
But if you're not actively making that a part of your routine, this is a problem for sure.
Yeah. I call it brushing and flossing the mind because it's just kind of becomes, it's as it becomes incorporated into your daily practice, then the nervous system has a chance to actually calm down. And this is a place where a lot of people do well with getting guidance and support.
Sure.
Because
to create routines
It's also hard to read the label if you're inside the jar. And so, so it can be really helpful to have somebody outside of you going like,
sure,
you know, it seems like there's a pattern here that I'd like to reflect back at you or, you know,
have you considered?
Yeah. But even like what you were saying with that person that comes in and you're stressed out hearing their story and they say they're not stressed. Well, to me like they're in freeze or they're just present.
Well, and
you know, they're having a stress response, right?
We get used to, right? Like if this is what life looks like, you just think this is life. This is not stress related, but it is that it's the inside of the jar example.
Yeah.
I have a client who's in her 60s and we were cleaning up products and she switched toothpaste to a clean toothpaste and said, literally, as soon as she switched toothpaste, she asked her husband, does toothpaste hurt your mouth? And he was like, what are you talking about? She said, my whole life, toothpaste hurt my mouth. And I didn't know that it's not like that for everybody. Right. We only know what our experience is in our body.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, yes, she had toxicity issues along with other things, but that's such a fun example because we really don't know until we feel better or until when you're in that stress state all the time.
Yes.
You don't know you're in it.
Right.
Unless you have experienced recently what it feels like to be out of it.
Right.
I love that you say that. And I love that saying of trying to read the label from inside the jar. It's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think you also raise another point that I think is really people get stuck in when they are dealing with ME, chronic fatigue and long COVID types of things, or what you're with your rheumatoid experience too, is that feeling of you kind of get used to what your own world is like, I always call it, you're living under your own glass ceiling, that ceiling that, and for me, my goal for myself and for all the people is to really break free and to completely be free. So you don't need to be doing the energy budgeting. And because I felt really blessed when I got long COVID because of all the knowledge I had with chronic fatigue and having had the experience of getting back 150%, I know it's possible. I hold that. And that is the goal. And that's the goal I hold for everyone who I see. Mm-hmm. And I do see it as being a possibility.
Well, it really is. I had, and I know often it just doesn't come up on the podcast much. My first go round with COVID itself was like nothing. You know, not a big deal. And about a month later, I woke up. I mean, it was kind of like a light switch. I woke up and felt like all of my RA symptoms were back, literally, just one morning.
Yeah.
And of course, along with that was a little bit of that PTSD stress response totally. Of like, oh my gosh, add to it that this is what I do for a living. And yeah. then I get the extra mean voices of like, you're a fraud because you're going to be sick again, all the things. Right. And it really was, and again, viral, right? This was a yeah. post-viral inflammatory response.
Yes.
It's all the things. You talk yeah. about brain inflammation. I had had a head injury in 2020 that was pretty significant that I had recovered
oh.
from.
Oh.
And a lot of those symptoms came back as well because
sure.
guess what else was inflamed?
My brain. Priming. You got yeah. primed during that yep. concussion, if not before, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't my yeah. first concussion, but it was a bad one. And so it always does become the gift, right? It's like, how is this a gift? And it's always a gift. I think yeah. anything we go through is a gift for the people we work with because
yeah, totally.
We're able to just bring so much more. So I love that you shared that because, you know, we're human too. And
yeah, right?
there's always an opportunity to up level. And like you said, we're always working on it. I can tell you're always working on it, right? Mm-hmm. This is, we're in this all together. We're, yeah. you know, it's not that idea of like, oh, I'm the expert, but I've never, you know, I studied this. It's like, no, we uh-huh. lived this.
yeah. 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 It's definitely different if you've lived it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Amazing. I love the work you're doing. And again, the it's a population, unfortunately, it's a growing population, but it's a population of people that A, need the information, but they need, you know, the healing and just to, I'm sure there's so many people listening that are like, oh my gosh, she knows what's going on inside my body. I love it. So before we go, what is one step listeners can take today? And you can pick from anything to start to improve their health.
I really think the one step, if I was to say one thing,
I know it's so hard.
Yeah. The one thing is really, it's really to believe. It's really to believe that there is a next step for you where you can take a step where you can get empowered and move forward in your healing. There is something there. For those of you who have been trying so many things and just feel like you make a little bit of improvement and or not very much, I say keep knocking on doors. You know, it's like there is going to be a door that's going to open for you and it's going to make a huge shift. And maybe you've been just going down the same path and you need to try something a little bit different. You know, you've been doing the perfect diet as we've talked about or something, and maybe it's on one of these other levels that we mentioned today. But I would say just keep having that hope and knowing and believing that there's a way that your body can heal. It's just, what is it that your body needs, your being needs right now to make that next step towards healing?
I love that. It's so important. And I'll reiterate, you already said it, but the body is designed to heal. It wants to heal.
Yeah.
And so that's a beautiful and essential first step is the believing. So believe and knock, we'll combine them.
Believe and knock, yeah, exactly.
Believe and keep knocking. Yeah. And trust yeah. yourself when it's not the right fit. Move
Absolutely.
On.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't need to keep doing things that aren't working for sure. That's a sign. I mean, that's what I do as a practitioner is I'm going, well, nope, this isn't working. We got to move. We got to
right.
go somewhere else.
Shift.
That's what I'm watching for. It's like, because I want that breakthrough, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Love it. Love it. So where is the best place for people? I know I'm always listening to podcasts on the go. That's my podcast time. Where's the best place for listeners to find you?
To go to the website, drjennytofankian.com, and on there, if you're curious what your root cause might be, there's a quiz that you can take where I created it based on the algorithm I use in my clinic, and you can take that and check that out. I have a YouTube, Healing with Dr. Jenny, Natural Healing with Dr. Jenny. I should know the name of my own YouTube channel.
That's okay.
Healing Naturally with Dr. Jenny.
Something. Go to the website, people. Go to drjennytofankian.com. You can find all the things right from there. I love it. See, we're really, this is real.
Totally, man.
Amazing. Dr. Jenny, thank you so much. You have shared some real gold with us today.
It's been such a pleasure to be with you. I really enjoyed our time together. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the work that you do. And thank you to all of those who are listening. Really appreciate you.
And for everyone who is listening, remember, you can get the transcripts and show notes, including all the links for Dr. Jenny, at inspiredliving.show. I hope you had a great time and enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Julie Michelson's Inspired Living with Autoimmunity. Did you enjoy this episode? Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to get a transcript of this and every other episode, just head on over to inspiredliving.show or click on the link in this episode's description. There, you can also find everything we discussed in this episode, including links and information about our guest. You can even send in your questions to be answered by Julie in a future episode. That's inspiredliving.show. Until next time, this is Julie Michelson's Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast, helping you take your power back.